I love to read about the Apostle Paul. Boy, God used him mightily. And what a transformation in his life. Paul was a Pharisee among the Pharisees. He was one of the spiritual leaders of Judaism in Israel. And when this unknown prophet began to preach named Jesus, it irritated him to death. He began to get angry, and he began to hate Christians, and he began to persecute Christians. He laid his coats down and gave witness to the death of Stephen when they stoned him, and he imprisoned so many people. As a matter of fact, in one of the epistles, it says something about he who is the destroyer of the church comes. And that word destroy means dismember. I personally believe that the Apostle Paul actually killed Christians himself. He had many put to death. He had many in prison, men and women, he said. And when he got saved, he was on the road to Damascus, and he was going to go to get people who had claimed Christ and knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. And his purpose was to go there and to have them arrested and have them put on trial and maybe put to death. And God met him. And what a dramatic and amazing conversion experience he had with the Lord. And boy, his ministry, his three mission trips are like just great times of adventure and people being saved and trials and persecution and shipwrecks and all those things. Well, when you come down near the end of his life, he was arrested and they wanted to have him killed, and they could find nothing wrong with him to kill him, everything. And so finally it came down and they were going to release him. But the Jews were insistent, like they did with Christ, that he'd be put to death. And so Paul said, I appeal to Caesar. Paul was a born Roman citizen. And so he was also a Jew and a Roman. And so in those days, if you appealed to Caesar, that was a done deal. That was just like, say, call me a lawyer. And so they had to take him then to Rome to appear before Caesar. They're en route in chapter number 27, and they're on a ship. They make a stop in a certain place, and they're going to stay there for just a brief time, and then they're going to try to get to another island where they can spend the winter. And they're in this place called Fair Haven, and this is in chapter 27. And the captain is anxious to go, and the shipmaster, and all those, they want to go on. Paul had in his heart that it was too dangerous. I think God had spoke to him. And at any rate, he told them, he said, don't leave. If you leave now, we'll in peril. Our lives will be in jeopardy. Well, they wouldn't listen to him, and they started. And in chapter 27, they hadn't gone very far before they get to what's something called a Eurasidon. It's a great, almost like a hurricane at sea. And they get in there, and when you read through there, boy, you'll read chapter 27. It's kind of like a picture you see in Hollywood or something. Man, this ship is tossing, and they're throwing all the wares, they're hauling overboard trying to lighten the ship, and they take down the mast, and then finally they dismantle all the rigging of the ship to make the load lighter and throw it all off, so they don't have any sails, they don't have anything. They're at the mercy of the storm. And as they're being driven, this goes on now day and night for 14 days. And then they begin sounding. They drop a weight and they tell how deep they are, and so many fathoms. And they know they're approaching land. And that's what we come up on here in chapter number 27. And as they're approaching this island, this piece of land, Paul has already told them, don't despair. He says in chapter 27, verse 23, and there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Saying, what he's saying is, though this is a terrific storm and the sailors have already lost hope and everything else, he said, they're not going to die just because of you. Wherefore, sirs, he says to them, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall even be as he's told me. He believed with all of his heart that it's right. In verse number 27, it says it's been 14 days now since all this has been going on. And so they begin to come into the shore. and they put out anchors. And then Paul encourages them, take and eat. In verse 36, then they were all of good cheer. They took some meat, they ate, and they were there. Altogether, verse 37, there's 276 souls on that ship. And they had lightened the ship, and then as it strikes, as they release it and let it go, it runs aground, and the waves are beating against it. They're not at the shore yet, but you go down to the coast, you know, you got sandbars and all that. And so the waves begin to destroy that ship and to break that ship up. And notice what it says in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse 42. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, that's a captain over about 100, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped, watch, all safe to the land. Paul had already told them, God told them they'd all be saved. But now verse 28 and beginnings where I want to share a message with you this morning, chapter 28, verse 1. And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melitia, that's now Malta, and a barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present cold and because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, I want you to hold your place there, but skip over just a little bit further, and I want to show you another verse, and I'll explain why it turns out this way. Look at verse 10. Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laden us with such things as were necessary. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, would help me right now. Oh, God, I need you so this morning. I pray, God, that you'd bless. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir, God, of Miss Cindy this morning. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless. I must have your anointing. Lord, speak to my heart. God, speak to this people here. Lord, what a wonderful, tremendous Sunday school lesson Brother Barry shared this morning. Those who were online and those in this building, I know now the Holy Ghost is even speaking their heart. And God, I pray that, God, that you'd help now with your power. Lord, speak to people. Help us, our Father, number one, to want to be right with you and to be able to hear your voice and know what it's like to have a God who's in the midst of the storm. And then, Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to want to be a blessing to others and minister to them. And then, Lord, of course, our burden is that some who don't know you, who are not saved, would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord this morning. Lord, speak now, and I'll thank you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This is all one story, chapter 27 and 28. And I've talked to you a little bit about the storm. It's a terrible storm. And it's not just your average little storm. This is like a hurricane at sea. These are experienced sailors that are on that ship. There are prisoners on there. Paul's on there. There's some other political people on there, some soldiers on there, 237 altogether. But the shipmen, those who own the ship, they knew how to handle it. But they couldn't handle it. It's more than they can do. And for 14 days, they battle it. And then the Bible makes a statement in another passage I didn't read to you. It said, until all hope was gone. They came to a place where it was absolutely hopeless. That meant that they could not do anything about it. They were at the mercy of God and the sea. They had a storm. You'll have a storm. In the midst of that storm were prisoners, some maybe murderers, some whatever they were doing. They were prisoners, like Paul was a prisoner. Paul, of course, was an innocent man, loved God, believed God. Some of them were noncommittal to anything, but they were all together, and they're all in the storm. And I want to just tell you, being a Christian doesn't mean you don't go through storms. You're going to have battles. You're going to have things. And you're going to come to the place where you can't do one thing about it. You're going to have times when you've done all you could do and you can't do any more. These men did everything they could do. They threw off the excess weight so it wouldn't sink, the water coming in the ship, and then they threw out everything they could. They finally tore down all the tackling and everything else that was necessary to sail. And what that meant was they were at the mercies of the sea now. And they had one lifeboat evidently, because as they got close to the land, they began to put the lifeboat down. And humanly speaking, that was their only way of getting off the ship. But that was the human means of getting off the ship. And Paul said, you can't do that. God's already told me, if you get off this ship, if you try to get off this ship, you got to stay inside the ship to be saved. And they listened to him. They didn't listen to him when he told them not to sail. But they listened this time, and they cut the ropes, and they let that little lifeboat go. That was their last resort. What they were saying is this: we are totally committed to the providence of God. We're going to trust the word of Paul. We're going to trust his God that he's going to take care of us, and we're going to all live. And that's a great witness. That's a testimony that you'll have that. You're going to go through a storm. But I want to tell you something else. I don't care how hard the wind's blowing, how much the noise is going on around you, how much heartache, how much sorrow. The Bible says, our first verse I read to you, Paul said, "They stood by me this night, the angel of the Lord." It was God speaking to him through that angel. And I don't care what kind of storm you're going through, it's never so dark, never so loud that the Holy Ghost of God can't speak to you in your darkest hour and speak peace to your soul. He can do that. Now, he didn't calm the storm, and he doesn't always heal, and he doesn't always deliver us out of circumstances, but he'll always give us peace and trust to go through the storm. Remember the children that were cast into the fiery furnace? He could have kept them from going in. He could have struck all their enemies dead. But he allowed those three Hebrew children to be thrown into the fire, and those who threw them in the fire, they died because of the heat blast that came out when they opened to throw them in. But God kept them in the midst of the fire. Daniel, God let him be cast into the lion's den. They would have just ripped him to shreds, but God shut the mouth of the lions. And so God delivered him in the midst of the lions, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the furnace. God will be with you, and he'll help you and carry you through that storm. Now, thank God for that. But now, my thrust this morning is not even that, and I got a little bit of time, and I'm going to give you my message. Some of you may remember I have referred to this before. I'm interested in these people on that island. They were called barbarous people. Now, that's not necessarily a derogatory thing. The Romans called anybody that didn't speak their language barbarians. And that just means they were different. But these people did not know Paul. They didn't know anybody on that ship. But the Bible says this about them, that when they made camp, or they came to that, it said, "These barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and the cold." I'm thinking about camp meeting. I'm thinking about preachers and missionaries who are coming to camp meeting. Brother Adrian Moore will be coming. Brother Adrian has served the Lord for many years. He was a youth pastor, and then he was a pastor and used to pastor in Danville, Virginia. And then kind of in his upper 50s, early 60s, just two or three years ago now, God burdened his heart to go into a full-time ministry working in the Caribbean islands. His home base is in Kentucky, but he works with a mission board there. And they minister about 200 and something pastors throughout all the Caribbean islands. And that's a real life-changing thing. But he's going to be in camp meeting this year. And I do know that one of the schools, they go and they have pastor school, but one of the schools they planned right down to the last minute had to be canceled. For he and his wife Nancy to sell their home, they own their own home in Danville, Virginia, and to go up there to start that mission work with no guarantee of any kind of life, of income or anything else. They had to raise their own support. And they're coming, and he's looking forward to being with us. But I'm thinking about preachers who may be coming. Brother Dennis Gregory was so looking forward to coming. And he has just not been well for some time now, a little bit older than I am. He's probably the one I know the longest of any of the preachers that come. We grew up in the same hometown. As boys, we played church league ball together. And so that's been a long, long time ago. And Brother Dennis is a good man of God, but he's in such shape right now, he's having to walk with a walker in tremendous pain day and night with his back. They can't seem to figure out what's going on or how to help him. But he's not going to get to come, but he's going to listen to us on the internet. But there'll be others coming, and God's going to minister to them. But how's he going to do that? How's he? People who are coming out of a storm, people who are coming in and been going through all kinds of things, pastors, evangelists, preachers, God's used them. They've been blessed. But it's hard for us generally to understand the life of a pastor or a life of an evangelist. But they love this camp meeting. They've been coming, some of them, ever since we started. And it's always a time of refreshing. It's an oasis for them. And how can we minister to them? I look at these people on this island. In the first place, there are two or three little things I want to mention real quickly. God, all of these things don't just happen. Brother Barry this morning, it was powerful. And I told him what he's been sharing last Sunday and this Sunday, and to finish up maybe next Sunday if he gets a chance. But that ought to be put in print, because it's right down where people live, and it's the power of God. But he's using illustrations of being lost, people being lost in our community, lost down here in the swamp, and all of that, like that. And here we are now, we're getting ready for camp meeting, and guys are coming in, and they need something. They want to be blessed. How can we be a blessing to them? Here are these people who are on this island, and this shipwrecks, and all these people come dragging out of the water. And they begin, Paul said this, that they ministered to them. And he said, they showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one for the present rain and because of the cold. They ministered to them, every one. And I love that little statement, every one of them. 14 days they've been. I got to thinking about what it mentions 14 days twice in this little story. I didn't read it to you. I kind of recounted it to you. But the number 14 in the Bible is the word deliverance and salvation. The number 14 always speaks of deliverance and salvation. And so this little island that they come to, by the way, it means honey, sweet, amen. But they come into this sweet place. They come into this place, a place of deliverance, a place of salvation, a place of rescue. And God in his divine providence had to be there. Back over in chapter 27, Paul tells them, when he tells them that God spoke to him, he said, we must cast on a certain island. Now, he didn't name it. I don't think he knew the name of it. But God had told him, he said, I've got an island, and I've got some people already ready. And y'all are going to end up on that island, but I've got some people there that are going to minister to you. And there are people coming, preachers coming, missionaries coming from all over everywhere to come in here. And God's got a people right here, a little bit of honey right here in heaven, a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of something, honey for the journey to give them strength. And God's going to send them here for us to minister to and to be a blessing to them. And that's what I want us to understand, what us to do. Notice it says, they showed us. Now, here's the difference between showing and telling somebody. He said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You could say, I love you and I appreciate you and this, that, and the other, but they showed them. They showed them. They lived it out. Now, I'm going to just tell you, we've been doing this camp meeting about 28 years now. We missed COVID, I think, and we missed this past year because of the sabbatical. But I think ever since, maybe not the first year we were here, but the second year we started. So it's been a good long time anyway. We've been doing camp meeting. And some of them have been coming, came the first time and be back this time. But they come in here to be, and God helps them and blesses them. And what you know what they tell me? The preaching's great. They love the food. But what blesses most of these preachers more than anything else, and you know some of them, and I know some of them, and I know their churches, they have small churches. You're their blessing. this church is a blessing to them. They watch these young people as they help. They watch all of you work around. They watch you in the kitchen, the fellowship hall, and your kindness to them. You show them. You live it out. You don't just tell them. They know you love them. They know that. But that's true of visitors and guests who come in here. They won't remember long what I say, but they'll never forget how they're treated while they're here. And God help us to love people and show them, that is to do it not just in word, but in deed, to touch lives, meet these preachers, greet them, shake their hand, ask them about their family, tell them you love them, you're praying for them, get to know them. They showed that, notice, they showed kindness to us. You think about that. Here, a bunch of shipwrecked people, they don't know who they are. Some of them's prisoners, some of them murderers, everything. But it did it to every one of them. They showed every one of them the same thing. Aren't you glad that God's no respecter of persons? He does not love one person in this building more than anybody else. He loves us all the same. He died for every one of us. And for everyone, not He loved the world. That's a wonderful statement. He loved the world. But the truth of the matter is, He loved everyone in the world. And He died for you personally, and you have to receive Him personally. You have to know Him personally. You have to bow your heart for yourself and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior for yourself. He loves you one-on-one. He knows you. The Rochester used to sing a song, He loves me like I was His only child. And that's the truth. He loves us like we were everyone, and they minister every one of them. There are going to be some good men here that you know and you've heard preach and you love them with all your heart. But the ones you don't hear, the ones who are not maybe as outgoing as some others, let's love every one of them. Let's show kindness to every one of them, minister to every one of them. And notice what it said, they kindled a fire for us. They kindled that fire. They rekindled the fire in them. But that's our purpose. They built a literal fire for these people to get warm, get their heart warm again. And this is a time when we can all, every one of us, not just them. But let me tell you one thing. If this building was to catch on fire, it would affect everybody in here. And if we had the Holy Ghost of God in this building praying it over all the preachers and missionaries that come, then it'll get on us too. We need our fire rekindled. We need a new zeal to serve the Lord. And God is going to do that. They showed kindness to us. And that word kindness, it really means brotherly love. They treated these people they didn't even know like they were brothers, and they were in the same family, and what a blessing that was. And they showed that kindness. They kindled that fire and built it. Why? Why did they do that? He said that because of the circumstances of the world. There was rain and there was cold. And I'm going to tell you right now, what's going on in this nation, I'm thankful for God's blessing on America. But we've got some things going on in this world, in this nation, that are horrible, wicked, wicked things. And then an all-out assault against God. It's still there. Mr. Trump and whoever else may be in control, but they can't control a media that, or can't control a crowd that has no respect for God or for the Bible or for God's people, and really have a hatred for them. And it's all over everywhere around here. And our dear brother Jonathan Parnell, you pray for him and his church continually. That wasn't a one-time deal. And it's just going on and on and on. But here, these people ministered to every one of them because of the circumstance they were living in, because of what was going on around them. We, everyone, need an encouragement. We, everyone, need blessing and kindling a fire. And notice it said they received every one of us. And the amazing thing about that is when I have told you, if you've been to a funeral in recent days, I've told what God spoke to my heart about He said, I'll come receive you unto myself. And that word receive means to embrace and pull to the breast. And these people who didn't know Paul or anybody else in there from Adam, they loved them, treated them like brothers, they kindled them a fire, and they received them. It means they embraced them. They felt their love. They felt their support. And then I read another verse. I skipped down and read another verse, and I'll share it with you hurriedly. In chapter 28, in verse number 10, it said, and when we were departing, as we departed, they laden us with all that was necessary. In other words, they didn't only be good to them while they were there. They put enough in them to carry them down the road in their journey. And that is my prayer for camp meeting, that when people come in here and when you come into a Sunday service and you come into a Wednesday service or whenever you're here, that God will bless you while you're here. You'll feel the love of God. You'll hear the Word of God. You'll be blessed by the Word of God. You'll enjoy the singing, be blessed by the singing. You'll enjoy being around one another, but you'll get something here to take with you on your journey down the road. And the Bible said they laden us. That means they didn't give them a little, like in a motel room, a little paper bag, a to-go breakfast. Laid means they laid it on them. I mean, they laid it on them. I mean, they filled up the ship that they left out in. They filled it up so they'd have more than they need for the journey. My prayer is that everybody, people from Benson Grove, people from Burnell, Friendship Baptist Church, and churches that will be coming in on Wednesday night to be in our services and others, and everybody in our community and all of our friends who come from here and everywhere, that when they leave here, they'll be loaded down with blessings, loaded down with the presence and power of God. My dear friend, and be able to continue on in the journey and keep on keeping on for Jesus. That's what camp meeting is all about. That's why I want you to be here. Don't just discount it. Don't just say everything's going to go like it always goes. It's going to be preaching, going to be eating, and we got our things to do, and they'll be taken care of. I want you to be here. Be a part of it. Get in it. If you can talk to anybody who's been in camp meeting them, just tell you it ain't nothing like it. And I hope you'll make plans to be here in every service starting next Sunday morning. Brother Tom Gillum will be with us. We got some preachers coming in on the weekend. All his family will be here on Sunday night, and then we'll start a night service on Monday night, then morning service Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Run out here to the morning service and eat lunch with us. We don't have lunch. We have lunch on Wednesday. We don't do lunch during the day, but there will be a light lunch on Wednesday. But we do supper every night. Come eat supper with us. Be a part of it. Well, what is all this about? The Bible said they continued steadfast in fellowship and in breaking of bread from house to house. And God gave the increase, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time when we all come together. We break bread, we eat, we fellowship, we get blessed in the Word of God. And the ultimate aim is this, that the Lord would add to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, some of you can come be here through the whole thing, not get anything out of it because you don't have anything to put it in. The Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of God. But if you've known Christ, you're born again by the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ showed up on that ship in the middle of the storm. You know, out of 237 people, how many knew God, heard God, met God that night? One. His name was Paul. And in this building this morning, however how many is in here, this great crowd in here, it could be as few as one that really hears the Word of God and the voice of God. And Brother Barry so wonderfully showed that illustration this morning of a friend who was lost. Did everything he could to get out and finally just gave up. Spent all night in the swamp. And when the sun came up, the Holy Ghost of God began to shed light. He began to revive and to be able to look and see which way east was. But the determining factor was this. Somebody called his name. Somebody had gone in the swamp looking for him at daylight. And he heard him call his name. And this morning, although I've not spent a lot of time sharing just the gospel, I would tell you that Jesus Christ died for your sin. He was buried, rose again, and He's alive right now. And He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, the Bible said, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Maybe in the Sunday school hour it started. Maybe now it's still working on you. Maybe in the morning worship, the songs, the choir, God started speaking to you. If you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Receive Him right now. Friends in the internet and in the radio audience, receive Him now. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost, our Father, would speak to hearts. Our Father, it's in my heart this morning, looking so forward to camp meeting. And Lord, the men of God who'll be here and the women of God who are coming in as guests, hear from the area local preachers and their families. God, I pray that this will be a sweet place, a place of honey. I pray to be a place where they'll find a refreshing. They'll receive a reception, Lord, where they'll receive a refiring, that God, we can kindle a fire in them by the Holy Ghost of God to go out and serve you and be faithful. God, speak to hearts now. And Lord, I ask God that your people would make a commitment to you that they're going to be praying for camp meeting and looking forward to it. They'll be here next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, and then through the camp meeting in the evening services and the daytime services as possible. But Lord, it'll be a time not only of us getting blessed, but of being a blessing. God, that we can be a blessing and encouragement. Lord, that we'll pitch in and help those things that need to be done physically and keeping the bathrooms clean and working in the kitchen and cleaning up after the meals at night. And Lord, all that needs to be done, I pray, God, that we'd give ourselves to service of the Lord Jesus Christ by ministering to people. Our Father, if these people could show brotherly love, if they could demonstrate, Lord, their kindness to these prisoners and Paul, surely we who know the Lord Jesus Christ and have had the love of God shed abroad in our heart, God, we can have it in our heart to minister to God's people here in the church, here in the community, and those who will come during camp meeting. God, I'm praying you'd make it real to us. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. While we are praying, dear friend, let me ask you this. If you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? Do you know that you're saved? Have you been born again? Have you had an experience with God where the Holy Spirit of God came in your heart crying, Abba, Father, and you became a brand new creature in Christ Jesus? Have you done that? Not if you've been baptized or been a church member, but you know beyond any shadow of a doubt, the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you because you're saved. Lord, folk, if you don't know that, I pray the Lord this morning has spoke to you like he spoke to Paul in the midst of that storm. But he spoke to you about salvation, about being born again by the grace of God. Hear his voice, receive him, ask him, call on him, believe in your heart that he died, buried, rose again, and that he did it for you, and that he can and he will save you, and then call on him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a no-so salvation. These things are written to you that you might know that you have eternal life and that you might believe in the name of the Son of God. Trust Jesus Christ as your only hope of heaven. Cut the ropes on any lifeboat you've got, any hope you've got outside of him, and just trust him with all of your heart. Be saved. For those of us who are saved, let's ask God to rekindle a fire in us, to stir us, excite us, fill us, use us, empower us to serve him and be faithful and to be a blessing to all those around us. Let's ask God to help us today to be a blessing. Let's stand together, and I'm going to ask you to do something I do in revival a lot. I'm going to ask you, while we have our heads bowed, an attitude of prayer. You don't have to kneel. And if you don't think you can do it, that's okay. You pray right where you are. But I want us to just come down around the altar this morning. Just slip out and come. And there's a lot of us, and that's all right. We just back up down the aisles if you can. I want us to get as close to the front as you can. We're going to have a closing prayer. But I want us, as we're coming, to make a commitment to the Lord that we're going to serve him. And we want to minister to God's people. You may have been for the camp meeting, you may have been a blessed and it'd be a blessing, but somehow no, you hadn't been involved in it. You don't make a special effort to get here during the night services. But I'm asking you this year, Oh, our nation's in crisis. We've nothing else. We need to be close to Him so we can pray. We've got enough family and preacher friends and folks that we know that are going through storms, and we need to pray for them. We need not have anything to hinder our prayers. Thank you for coming around the altar this morning, and friends and guests who come as well. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we're thankful for this place. Our Father, for the great renovation that we're almost completed, and Lord, that you have blessed and honored to provide it. And God, I pray, God, that you'd continue to bless, and Lord, we pray that you get all the honor and glory. And Lord, as we look forward to camp meeting, Lord, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would be on every preacher who preaches. God, help me to have wisdom enough to know who and when and where and what needs to be done. And God, I pray that as pastor and as our church family and as members of this church, that our Father, we could show no small kindness, and that we help to kindle a fire in preachers and missionaries, that they know that we love them, that we'd show them kindness, we would embrace them, everyone, and encourage them in the Lord, be a blessing to them. Want to be their servants, want to be a blessing to them in the few days they're here with us. And Lord, when they go back home, they'll be refreshed and on fire, ready to serve the Lord. Our Father, I've been told many, many times by other preachers that they are inspired when they leave here of what God's people can do. And they're praying that God, you'd work in their churches and that you'd raise up willing workers in their church. And God, I pray, God, that you'd bless. Lord, most of all, I pray, God, that if there's a lost person here this morning, God, they'll trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, even around this altar right now. Lord, I pray they'll call on you. You know them. You know them by name. And you'll hear their prayer if they'd but right now ask you to come in their heart and save them. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us to be faithful to you in all things. And God, we're going to thank you and praise you and give you glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.